continuing in our Pursue series. How many of you guys are taking up the challenge to really pursue after God this year like never before? Amen. And we hope that that will be your prayer. That is our prayer. That is our heart to pursue after God. Because there is nothing else in this world worth pursuing after. Amen. You can pursue after money, but money will not. It might give you a season of happiness, but it won't give you true joy. You can pursue after fame and fortune and all these different things, but they will all fall short. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray for Rianne. We lift her up to you, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is. God, we thank you for your healing touch in her body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Pursue holiness. Turn to someone and say, pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. Amen. And so throughout the Bible, you hear this word holy. And when you think of this word, it's a word that can only be ascribed to God and God alone. I cannot ascribe this word to any other person or any other thing, but we ascribe it to the one who made all things, the one who spoke and mountains were formed, the one who spoke and planets were formed. We speak to our holy and righteous and perfect God. Amen. And so throughout the Bible, there are tons of declarations and tons of statements where prophets and men of God would just behold and think about the holiness of God. Now, I just want to read just a few of these scriptures to you. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness." What about 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2? It says, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, and there is no rock like our God." What about Isaiah 6, 1 through 3? "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" One more in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 23 says, "So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord." So when we read this particular scripture, we see that it is the Lord's intent that he would display to mankind his holiness, and that mankind would come to know the holiness of God. Amen. And so it's holiness. When we think of this word, it starts with God. It starts with God being holy. I mean, he is set apart. There is no one to compare him to. He is holy in and of himself. Then we come across scriptures like in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Anybody ever read this and thought, "Wow, what an awesome scripture. Is the Lord requiring me to match his holiness on my own efforts?" Absolutely not. If that was the case, if our holiness was to match the holiness of God because of our own doing, we are doomed. Amen? But because of the Lord Jesus, and because that he lived this life perfectly and without sin, his righteousness has become our righteousness. So whenever God sees us, he no longer sees our sin. He no longer sees your past. He no longer sees all the things that made you in your past. He sees a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And so we think of this scripture, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, to bring a little bit more clarity to this scripture, when we look at it in the King James, it says, "Be ye." All right, so we don't talk like this anymore, "be ye." I'm thankful for the English Standard Version, which says, "You shall be." But the word "be ye" is the original. It means to become. It's to become, to be changed into something, to come to be. In other words, and so we are becoming more and more like Christ Jesus our Lord each and every day. How many of you guys would say that you have arrived, that you're just like the Lord? There is no need to perfect you. There's no need to sanctify you. There's no need to put the pressure on you to change you. You're just like the Lord. Nobody? Wow. And so we're right. None of us in this place can say we're just like the Lord. We're being perfected. We're in this process. We are becoming. We shall be. Amen. We shall be holy. You're not there yet, but you shall be holy. Amen. You shall be. You're being perfected. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." So we see a couple of things happening. He has been. And so the offering, the sacrifice that he has paid already is sufficient enough for you. It has already taken place. But then we also see the other part of this verse where it says, those who are being sanctified. Do we have some people in the house today that would say, I am being sanctified. I'm in this process of being sanctified or becoming holy, becoming like Christ. So though his sacrifice was perfect for our sins, and his sacrifice plus nothing is all we need to obtain salvation. Amen. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. But yet, how many guys would say that, you know what, we still live in this flesh, right? And this flesh is inclined to do sinful things. This flesh is inclined to act against God. Don't believe me? How many of you had a hard time waking up this morning to get yourself up to church, you know? Because your flesh does not want to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And so while we are still living in this body, this flesh, we're yearning for our full redemption. We're yearning and awaiting for this time when one day we will be made completely holy. So Christ's sacrifice is enough for us. It's enough for our sins, but yet we are being sanctified through Christ. And so I just want to kind of break this down even a little bit further. The three tenses of salvation, or the three tenses of becoming holy. You have been saved, it would be the first one. Turn to your neighbor and say, you saved, right? And so how are we saved? We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ and by God's grace alone. Amen. So there was a moment, April the 4th, 1997, whenever I gave my heart to the Lord and I said, Lord, I am yours. At that moment, I was cleansed. I was cleansed from all of my sins, all of my iniquities that are in the past. I no longer have to bear the shame of that. I'm living for the Lord, and I've been, you know, walking with the Lord for almost 26 years. And so that happened in the past. How many guys can remember that day whenever the Lord came into your heart and whenever he got a hold of your heart and you repented of your sins and he washed you and he cleansed you? It happened in the past. Therefore, you are saved, all right? So if that happened to you, you're saved. You don't need to doubt it. You don't need to question it. You can have the assurance from the Holy Spirit that you are saved and that you belong to the Lord. Paul tells the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So it happened in the past. There's a reference point where you can go to and say, you know what, before Christ, yeah, I was a pretty terrible dude. After Christ, the Lord changed my heart and things began to come in alignment with who Christ is. The first part is you have been saved. The second part of becoming holier, becoming more like Christ, you are being saved. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 would say, for we are the aroma of Christ to God. Let's just think about that just for a moment. We are the aroma of Christ to God. Now, what is an aroma? A pleasing smell, right? Not passing behind a garbage truck. That's not a pleasing smell. But we're thinking a pleasing smell, like maybe lavender or something. Something that is therapeutic. You know, you're sitting in your bathtub, and those little bath soaps that you put in your bathtub to relax yourself. It's aromatic. It helps you out. A sweet aroma. We are a sweet aroma in Christ Jesus to God because of his sacrifice and what he has done for us. Our lives are a pleasing aroma to him. But then the second part of this says, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. So this process of being saved is here. And among those who are perishing. So not only have you been saved, but you are being saved. Amen. So that would be the second part of this. Other verses allude to this in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you're saved by the blood of Jesus and by his sacrifice, but then it tells you to work out your own salvation. Let me just continue reading, and we'll get back into this. With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So there's a work that is being done right now in your life. But what we learn is that we're not actually doing the work. It's God that's doing the work in us, is what that scripture says. Work out your salvation. So the scriptures say, work out your salvation, but it's not really you doing the work. It's God doing the work in you. And so what does that look like in your daily life? Whenever you begin to spend time reading God's word, and the Holy Spirit bring something to light through the word, or through the word of God, or through another brother, or through another sister. And you take that word and you absorb it and you begin to walk in obedience to that word. Then you are, in a sense, working out your salvation. Because if you don't obey, then you're not working, right? You're just hearing, you're being a hearer of the word and not a doer. And so to work out your salvation it would imply that you are being saved, would be the second tense of salvation, or becoming holy. And then we come to our third tense of salvation, which means one day you will be saved. You will be saved. And what does that imply? This implies that you will one day, the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about a time when there will be no more pain anymore, there will be no more suffering anymore, that one day we will have a glorified body, and that we will not suffer as we suffer on this earth. It says that the former things will be forgotten, right? That we will not remember the pain and the affliction of this earth that we currently endure, that one day whenever Christ returns, our bodies are going to be resurrected up. Those who are dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the clouds. And we will receive a glorified body. So we look forward to this future salvation. We look forward to this time when we will be with the Lord and we will spend eternity with our God forever and ever and ever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more fears, no more worries, no more inadequacies, no more failures. We will be with the Lord. And so we await this future salvation. Amen. So this future tense, we will be saved. There's several scriptures that talk about this, but one particularly in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 46, and says, this is Jesus coming right from the mouth of Jesus. He says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so we are waiting this day. We have been saved, all right? We are being saved. In other words, the Lord is still perfecting us, and he is still working in us, that he is not done with us yet. He's not going to leave us just right here, right where we're at, but he has a plan to bring us into perfect holiness. Amen? This one day when we will be with the Lord. So with this understanding, let's look at the scripture again, 1 Peter 1, 16. You shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be because I am. You shall be. In other words, one day you will be completely holy because the Lord is completely holy and he is committed to making you completely holy. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not forsake the work that he has begun in you. He will continue and bring the work into completion. He is already holy. That means you can't add anything to God to make him more holy. You can't take anything away from God to make him more holy. He is holy. He is in a league of his own. There is no comparing God to anything. John Piper, I like reading from him. He makes several comments about this. He says, God's godness is his standard of holiness. That is, since holiness means separated from what is common, God is infinitely separated in being in a class by himself. Infinitely above and distinct from all else, he is transcendent, meaning there is nothing to compare him to. To complete the definition of God's holiness, we add that it consists finally that all his emotions, his thoughts, his actions accord with his infinite worth and beauty. What he feels, what he thinks, and what he does flow from a right valuing of his infinite worth and beauty. This is what we mean by saying his godness is the standard of his holiness. God's holiness is his infinite transcendence, his infinite worth, and his flawless feeling, thinking, and acting in accord with his own worth. Isn't that deep? I mean, the thing, because God is holy, the essence of who he is, and so everything that he does, every action that he takes is holy. Every word that he says is holy because it comes out of his nature, and he defines what holiness is. So not only is God holy, and we are to have a reverence of his holiness, but it says that you shall be holy as I am holy. You shall be holy. In other words, he is making you holy. A couple of things about this. We know that Christ is committed to us and that he is committed to making us holy, because scriptures like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 to 27, yes, this is talking about a marriage. It's talking about a husband and a wife. But it's also talking about Christ and his love for the church, where it says this in Ephesians 5, 26. It says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So this is the church that the Lord is coming back for, a church without spot or wrinkle. And so if we're not there yet, but we shall be there, amen, because he is committed to us, because he is already holy, and he is working in us, and he is committed to making us holy, he is coming back for a church who has made herself ready without spot or without wrinkle. That is the bride of Christ. That is the church of the living God. Amen. That's the church that he's coming back for. So he is committed to purifying us and cleansing us. But I also want to point out something else. We talked about the three tenses of salvation, of being saved. Here they are again, where it says that having cleansed her by the washing of the word, that's past tense, that he might sanctify her, present tense, so that he would present her, present the church, future tense. So he's going to present the church to himself. Amen. So again, we see the past, the present, and the future tense of becoming holy or becoming more like our Lord. Revelations 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, their God." So how does this come about? If God is holy, and there is none to compare him to, and then mankind is way over here on the other spectrum where we're not holy. When we consider the holiness of God, we automatically look at our own selves and says, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. God, I'm a man with unclean lips. I live with a people with unclean lips. Woe is me. How can God dwell with man? First, what separates God and man? Sin. So, whenever we read the scriptures that says one day God will make his dwelling with man, that means that he's going to completely remove every sinful inclination, every sinful desire, anything that looks like sin. He's going to completely remove it from your life, and you will be with God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that you're not going to deal with sin anymore? You're not going to deal with the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You're not going to deal with these things anymore. You will be with God and you will be made completely holy. The bride of Christ, we will dwell with God, a sinless, perfect, holy, and righteous God. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies." Many guys are longing or anticipating that day whenever we will be with God forever and ever. You have this groaning on the inside of you. You're longing for eternity. You're longing to be with God. And it says that the redemption of our bodies. For in this, verse 24 says, we hope. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I can go outside in the parking lot and look at my truck. Not today, my truck's not there. But look at my wife's car. And I don't really have to hope that a car is there. I can just open up the door and it's there, right? But this future salvation that we're talking about, we can't really see it with our eyes just yet. We can't really see the full redemption of our bodies. We can't really see the fact that we will become holy and that we will dwell with God. We don't see it right now, but we hope for it and we wait for it patiently. We believe it. We believe the scriptures. We believe that God is a God who keeps his word, that he is a promise keeper. He doesn't only make the promises, but he keeps his promises. And if he said it in his word, then we believe it and we wait for it. We wait for it with patiently. So what does it mean then to pursue holiness? If we're waiting for this moment in time when we will become completely holy, what is our duty right now? What is our responsibility right now? Looking back at that verse in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So to work out, we have a definition what this looks like in the Greek, to continually work, to bring something to completion or fruition. Do we have any people who are like very meticulous, like you into crafts and whatnot, and you make something, and then you stand back, you look at it like, well, let me just fix that a little bit because I don't really like that. Or let me just tweak this a little bit. I can make this a little bit better. Or maybe I'm just talking about myself. I don't know. Whenever I do wood projects or different things, I'm like always looking at it from different angles and trying to figure out how can I make this better? How can I perfect it? And so it is, this word work out, to continually work to bring something to completion. How do we pursue holiness? I want to give you guys an acronym for the word holy, and we're just going to kind of break this down. I would say the H of holy be to hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the Lord. I think it starts with hearing his voice. How do we hear his voice? I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice of God. If you've heard an audible voice of God, man, that is awesome. I have not. But through his word and through his Holy Spirit, we hear his word. And we hear what he is saying to us. You know, like perhaps you're going about your daily life. And especially right now, if you've been fasting, you hear the Lord's voice. You hear what he is saying. He'll say something to you. Hey, look, you need to work on this area in your life. Or, hey, you need to remove this from your life. Or, hey, look, you need to add this to your life. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So I would say, hear the voice of the Lord. Not only hear the voice, the O in holy would be obey that which he's called you to do. So we hear his voice. We walk in obedience to what he's called us to do. We don't act like Jonah. Like Jonah heard the voice of the Lord, and God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to these people in Nineveh. I'm about to pour out my wrath upon them. And Jonah's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm getting out of town. And so the Lord just calls a big fish to swallow him up. And you know, pretty disgusting. And then the fish spits him back out and full of fish vomit and everything else. But we don't want to go there. We want to walk in obedience to the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get swallowed by a big fish. But maybe you do. But I want to be obedient to the Lord and what he's asking me to do. And sometimes obedience takes sacrifice. Sometimes it's like sacrificing your flesh and your desires and what you want to do for the sake of doing what the Lord would want you to do. So holiness, the first one, H, hear the voice of the Lord. Second, O, obey that which he has called you to do. The L in holy would be live to please him. You know, the book of Ephesians says, Ephesians 4:22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put off your old flesh. We're going to live in a way that pleases the Lord. We're not going to live in a way that pleases our flesh anymore, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so guess what? The old man, the old person, the old woman has been crucified with Christ. Amen. And so you are no longer that person. You are no longer a slave. And that sin or that thing is no longer your master. You have died to that. And then the second part of this would be put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're putting off our old flesh and our old sinful, stinky nature, and we're taking on the newness, the new nature of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So we're going to live our lives in such a way that pleases him. Amen. You know, whenever you're on the job, and we talked about this, it came up yesterday some kind of way, where it's whenever you're doing something, do it unto the Lord. Do it to please him. Because if you do it to please man, you're going to be highly disappointed. You will work and you will sweat and you will perspire and you will give it all you got trying to please man, and it will come to nothing. But if you work to please the Lord, if you live to please him in all that you do, whether it's raising your family, whether it's on the job, whatever it is, that you live and do it unto the Lord, then the Lord will bless you. The Lord sees you. The Lord will multiply you. The Lord sees your work. Amen? So all that we do, we live to please him. We do so by putting off our old self and taking on our new self, created after the likeness of God. And then the last part of holy would be to yield to the infilling power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need his power. We need the Holy Spirit. I need him each and every day. And I can't pretend that I don't need him. I can't pretend that I can do this on my own. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. We need to be filled constantly, church. And as the day grows evil, as evil seems to be on the rise, we need even more of the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So to be holy is to hear the voice of the Lord, to obey that which he's called us to do, to live to please him, and to yield to the infilling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to read one more line from John Piper. It says, therefore, we shall share God's holiness when we feel and think and act in accord with the supreme value of all that God is for us in Christ. In other words, whenever our thoughts and our actions align with that of Christ, we become holy. He goes on to say, our holiness is our treasuring God in Christ above all. So that all our emotions, thoughts, and deeds reflect his supreme beauty and value. Wow. What if the church of the living God would reflect God's supreme beauty and value through our thoughts, through our deeds, our actions? The world would be drawn to Christ. The world would see, I want that. They would see authentic Christian lives. They would see Christians who are pursuing holiness. They would like, I want that. I want that. What if we were to demonstrate Christ in the earth? Let's put it this way. What if you're the only Christ that people may ever see in the earth? Would they be drawn closer to God? Or would they pull further away? Does your attitude reflect His supreme beauty and value? What about your thoughts and your actions? Does your actions and your thoughts reflect His supreme beauty and value? As we wait for the redemption of our bodies, where we have this complete holiness, our commission, our charge this morning is that you would pursue holiness with all of your heart. But not just on Sunday mornings, where you could put on your good face for your brothers and your sisters. Hey, look at me, I'm holy, I'm here, I'm worshiping, I'm lifting my hands. That's great. What about Monday morning? Yeah, you're on the job and the coffee machine is broken. And, you know, the office equipment is just not working correctly. And are you going to take that moment just to display the glory of God in that situation? Or are you going to allow that situation and situations you face to just rob you of any joy that you may have? We are called to be salt and light in the earth. We are called to affect our environment. We are called to display the glory of God in the earth. You are made in the image and likeness of God for a reason. Not just to put the light under a bushel, but to put it on a lampstand where all can see, where all can come to know the Lord, our Savior. Amen. So this morning, the charge is to pursue holiness. And I'm going to give you guys an opportunity this morning just to kind of get things right with the Lord. And yes, we've been fasting, and perhaps you've already repented of sins, but let's make a commitment this morning to say, you know what, I'm going to pursue holiness in my life. Look, you might not necessarily be able to do anything about anybody else's life, but you personally can take this and say, I will pursue holiness. I will live a life to please the Lord. I will put aside my old flesh. I will take up the newness of Christ, the new self that's created in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to take that up. I'm going to lay down this old flesh. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we hear your word. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers, but we want to be doers as well. Lord, we want to hear your word. We want to obey that which you have called us to do. We want to live a life that is pleasing unto you, Lord God, in every aspect. Lord, that our lives, Lord God, will bring glory unto your name. When people would see us and take notice of our lives, Lord, that they would see you, that you would be glorified in the earth, O Lord. And we yield, Lord, to the infilling presence of the Holy God in our lives, because we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your filling, oh God. So would you come and make us holy? Would you continue the process of sanctification in our lives? Lord, we allow you to come. Shine the light in our lives. Shine the light, Lord God, in those dark areas, Lord, that need to be lit up. Lord, where we would repent, where we would return to you, Lord, even as a nation, that we would return to you with prayer and weeping and fasting, that we would loathe our sins, that we would commit our ways unto the Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us as the church, Lord, to rise up, to set the example, to pursue holiness in our lives. Lord, we give you all the praise. Help us, Lord, in our failures, whenever we fall short, whenever we have imperfections, whenever we prove that we're incapable of bringing about our own holiness, that we would receive the righteousness of Christ as our righteousness, and we would walk in that, and that we would submit, Lord God, to your strength in our lives. We love you, O Lord, and we pray that you would help us, Lord, this day to pursue holiness each and every day. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And let God's people say, amen. Amen.
We'll see you this Friday at 6:30. Make sure you go and invite a friend for our Pursue Conference and go and pursue holiness in Jesus' name. We'll see you Friday, this Wednesday at 6:30, of course, and then Friday at 6:30. Bring someone with you.